Hi there.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I'm sorry. We were holding for 10 or 13 minutes. Thought maybe we had the wrong something. But we're in good shape.
Okay. Sorry, because I was holding, waiting, and I didn't hear anything. I was like,
okay. So then we can end. Good.
Yeah, Happy New Year. What's on your mind?
Well, so we got folders ready for the first bunch of people. We started talking to people. We really liked the email after the meeting.
Oh, great.
So I think that we have put traction to the process, and we all have our first roughly 20 top tier clients and their folders built,
and all their butlers,
and all
which,
of their
by
butlers
the way, is a bunch.
And so we're working through that, we're doing it, we're making those calls, sending the pre-meeting agendas, the post-meeting follow-ups, and we're still working with Jeanette on the scheduling side of it. I think, are you struggling with the scheduling software still?
It doesn't make any sense to me. Are you
connecting with Cindy?
Yeah, well, I have to call her again. I only emailed her a few times, but I'll call her.
Yeah, we have to make a better connection between Jeanette and Cindy so that the software and how we're setting up the scheduled appointments is better understood. But mechanically, you know, we've adopted certainly the ideology of Supernova, if not fully yet, but we've made great progress over these last 2 weeks.
Oh, great. That's terrific. Congratulations.
So we've created the folders. Everybody's using more or less the same internal organization system. So I think we've adopted, you know, the lion's share of what you've done. We're still waiting on folders for centers of influence and our prospects to arrive. So we haven't color-coded those yet. But once they're here, okay, we're ready to go with that. From a team perspective, we have continued our segregation, and on this conference call here in the room is Sean Roth. You'll recall is our young FA joining the team here in a little bit. And so we're going to segment a nice portion of the business to him, and a fair amount of business that we're going to try to move to central review or something that we put out to pasture because they're just a little bit too small. So, you know, I think we've done quite a good bit. Moving forward, we watched your video this week, and that talks about centers of influence and prospects, and that's understood. Looking out, you know, 3 to 6 weeks, what should we be, you know, trying to integrate that adds further traction?
Well, one of the, I mean, yeah, if you can each have, you know, I used to say you need as many prospects as you need, right? Which is true. I would try, if I were setting up your system now, I would try and build up to the point where everybody on the team that's handling clients has 20, and make them any color you want, but we made them yellow folders, the prospect folders. So everybody has 20 yellow prospect folders that they put into the system and pop up on a monthly basis. And that will forever give you at least a minimal system for prospecting. Theoretically, if you had 20 great prospects that came up monthly and you talked to them monthly and showed them the 12-4-2 and you closed them, that would be all you'd ever need. But, you know, some people need more and some people need less. But to me, that would be one of the things that I would build into the system. I would have each have six centers of influence and have a folder for each and build those folders and put them into the system and have them pop up monthly. I would have two niches that I built a folder for where I develop in each niche. It's not really an effective niche unless you have a center of influence inside that niche that's working with you and helping you to penetrate the niche.
So whether it's personal or professional, that's going to be a yellow folder like the prospects.
Yes, yeah. Or you can make it another color if you want to, but basically it's something, and then you'd give them, it'd be whatever your centers of influence folder would look like, you know. So the idea is that you're creating a real marketing sales initiative. You know, that's the idea, that these aren't just good ideas, but they actually get implemented by having the folders and then having them pop up and then meeting weekly and basically helping each other to stay on track and, you know, not getting caught up in fake folders, you know, where they really aren't good prospects. If you don't have 20, you don't have 20, you have two, but they're real good prospects. But the idea would be to build it up so you constantly have 20, and as you, you know, you convert a client, you move it into the new one. You'd be, the idea of niche marketing is that you become known and trusted in that niche and that you become an expert on it. And that doesn't happen overnight, and not that many people do it well. So if you do it well and you really work on it, it's tremendous. It can change your life.
That's good.
And when you're talking to the other teams who are going through this process, what's some of the best ideas you're hearing from other people that are adaptations of the process? Anything that's worth?
Well, it's interesting. Sometimes, you know, I get better, you know, because I come up with a new way of explaining something, even though it isn't their idea. They kind of pushed me and made me think a little differently. So that's constantly happening. And that's why the Supernova Multiplier is a completely different book than the Supernova Advisor. It's just evolved tremendously because of that exact question. That's a great question. Yeah, one came up today. Two came up today. That's good. Two of them. One was the 24-month calendar for your clients, right? 24-month calendar. This is a week ahead. This is next week for you guys. But that came up, right? The 24-month calendar. But also came up beside it was the 24-month calendar for marketing events. Okay, so you have your 24-month calendar for speaking to clients on topics that are important to them. And then you've got your 24-month calendar of what are we going to do to market ourselves, to recognize our clients, to have client appreciations, to have enthusiastically endorsed events, et cetera. So what does that calendar look like? Both of those, I would say that the 24-month calendar for topics to discuss with clients is built by the director of implementation, but the 24-month calendar of marketing should be the purview of the marketing director.
So I'm guessing from what you're saying, let me give an idea that I'm thinking of and tell me if this is understanding you right or wrong. May is probably a good time to talk about 529 plans.
Sure.
Right? Because 529 comes in May. All right? So we could do the newsletter on 529 plans in either April or May. We could have a seminar that month on 529 plans, you know, helping our clients prepare for college for children and grandchildren. And that would be a prime time to bring up with our clients as we're talking to them. And, you know, as we're talking to them that month, we could be saying, hey, you know, we're doing a seminar on 529, so you have grandchildren. You know, did you see the newsletter? Do you need me to send other information? And it's a whole... Now, that doesn't mean we can't do other things as well, but that's the month for 529s.
Yeah, and one of the things Yeah, for something like that, where you're going to then follow up, we tend to make that a 2-month effort.
Yeah, okay. That's why
okay.
I said April. Likewise,
yeah.
One of the things we have to do at year end is make sure everybody got money out of their retirement accounts. I've always started
right.
those in August.
Yeah.
The team says, you know what, September, October, that's when we talk about RMDs. That's when we send out an email on RMDs. This is when we maybe have a seminar on the new Secure Act and how that changes your RMDs, you know, that sort of thing.
Right. And, you know, the elimination of stretch IRAs is having profound effects, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, maybe 529s are more important or however you guys want to pull it together. But
we sit down, we say.
So I'd probably make the new tax act something earlier than the year than later, right?
Yeah, I was just using that as an example. Not as, you know, because I know
right.
in the past that's what we've done. My own thought is that Secure Act is one of the prime things we have to concentrate on this whole year because it's such a major change and we don't get them very often.
Right.
And
I saw an
IRA is $1,500 a year. You know, because they've never updated what it is.
Yeah. So you've done that. You got it. That's exactly the way. You might have, you know, you might have client recognition events. You vary them from year to year. That's why I like to have the 24-month calendar. You might like to always have a holiday event. But maybe the July 4th event is a little different each year and so forth. So just planning it out for 24 months would make you much more proactive than reactive. Okay. So one of the things that what was new, this was new, this was today, we were talking about the way we see ourselves, because we're always trying to present ourselves in a unique and different way, right? Our elevator speech or our whatever we want to call it. So I made this analogy, and it seemed to be pretty decent today. When people come to me, typically they are kind of an emergency room where they're very efficient, very effective, kind of a triage group, very good at helping people, but it's chaos and it's really hard on the team because they never know what's going to come next. And then we kind of transition from that into what I call family medicine, where everything's by appointment, very efficient. Very few mistakes are made, but they're still made, and too many clients, and there's wait time. And you think of a typical family medicine practice, right? And then we come to Supernova, which is really preventive medicine, concierge experience. So it's preventive concierge medicine. Customized and very personalized, anticipate problems and concerns before they happen based on intimate knowledge of the client and their situation. So I kind of like that. I wrote that out today. See, that's what you do when you teach. You create because you have to.
One of the things that we're seeing that we may be able to do to make the time available is we just added Jeanette, and she's now a full member of the team as an assistant, and she's going to handle a lot of the functions for this program.
Great.
She can be doing is calling Mr. and Mrs. Jones to set up or remind them of the appointment next Tuesday and say, are there particular issues you want to bring up that we should address next Tuesday while you're here or on the phone or whatever? And that lets them
right.
know. You don't have to give it to
and
us right now, but think about it for a week so you can let us know or tell us what you want, and we'll be on it next week.
Right, and we want to do that with our agenda.
Yep.
So we send them an email confirming the appointment, including the agenda, with a tagline at the bottom that says, if you'd like to add something to the agenda or would like to discuss a particular topic, please add that and send that back to us, and we'll be sure to include it.
Okay. That's good.
Okay. Then you institutionalize the process rather than everybody having to remember to ask somebody if they have something else.
Good.
Well, you can build that into a standardized, like a signature line.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
Nice.
And then the team just before you loves the executive. They love the folders and they love the executive summary. They just think the folders are great. They get them organized, keep them organized. But they love the executive summary, which is it's really a training tool for you to help the client be a better client. It also eliminates compliance issues having to do with I say, you say. So you finish a call. There are three items that you agreed to. You executed on two of them. You tell them what you did, how you did it. And there's one item outstanding that they need to follow up on. So you gently nudge them with the agenda item and tell them why, what they have to do, and the deadline that you've agreed on to get it done by.
Yeah.
Because you know one of the big problems is getting clients to move and do things that they need to get done in order to, you know, take care of their estate planning or do an insurance policy or whatever it is.
Interesting. Is there any where these folders reside? Do they reside with the person that's, you know, the one that's calling them, the one that is making the appointments with them?
If they can be centrally located with the person that's making the appointments, that's the most efficient way to do it. And you know, you want to have people say, how soon should I send out the confirmation of the appointment? If you can make the appointment the first Tuesday of the month at 8 o'clock all year, then, I mean, pick a time, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whatever. Make that all year, then they put it on their calendar. They know it's the first Tuesday, and you put it on yours. Now it's just a reminder with the agenda. And, of course, the tagline about adding back anything that they want on the agenda. Also, the first thing on the agenda to me should always be that question that I asked you, which is, before we get started, what's on your mind?
Mm-hmm.
And you could ask it in a different way. You could say, hey, we have our agenda here, but before we get into our agenda, is there something on your agenda that you'd like to discuss? So it's a courteous thing to do, and it gets them talking. And you, just like here, I don't want to be doing the talking. I want you guys to talk. So the least I talk, the better the call, the more you like it.
There was something in my mind about folders for each one of us on the team.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Tell us about that.
All right. So that's the leadership piece. One member of the team chooses to be the leader, and that can change, but basically it's that's their job, is to help each person on the team to grow. So they have help them set personal goals and professional goals, and then they help them on a monthly basis track those goals, help them with their roles and responsibilities on the team, and otherwise mentor them and help them be more effective on the team. So it's a monthly meeting. Each person has their own schedule, so it's just like a 12-4-2, basically.
But it's not amongst FA peers.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's what teams know. This is the big hole in teams. Teams don't, they wing it. Nobody actually does personal development on teams. And you say, well, you know, how can you be qualified to do that? You do it. You know, you do it like you do it with your kids or you do it with anybody. You learn to be a leader. And, you know, if you want to change it up and you're the leader 1 year and somebody else is the leader the next year, great. I had one most senior guy make the brand manager. He decided he wanted to be in charge of brand management because he thought it was so important and put somebody else in charge of leadership. You know, we can mentor each other without saying that I'm better than you are. We just help each other.
Right. I like that idea because I think if you talk to people, sometimes we're busy and we're coming and going, and it's almost even impolite. Like I come and go and I'm so busy, I think a lot of times I don't even look at anybody. And so I think if you make that time once a month, people are being heard and you're getting their ideas and you're hopefully going to catch it before they just get so disgusted or they're ready to move on to another role or something that they go someplace else.
Right.
You know, even among us, yeah.
I mean, just think if now I'm not picking on anybody, but just theoretically, think if your manager did this with you every month.
Uh-huh.
Would you like it?
Maybe.
Depending on how he did it, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
If it wasn't a hammer,
right.
But it was a help, you know, it's
right.
A coaching session. It's not a hammer session. It's coaching.
Right.
You know, it's helping. It's mentoring.
Good.
If they just said, what is it you need and how can I help you get it? Wouldn't
no, if they said, what is it you need, how can I help you get it, and here it is.
Right.
Even better.
It's the last part.
Even better.
That's good.
All right. So let's keep on. I'm sorry?
Yeah, so, and keep in mind from your point of view, right, the person that you report to is a center of influence for you. So this is a mutually beneficial relationship that with more communications would be a better one for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you get any ideas about teams that are growing and bringing people onto their teams? Do you have any insights about that?
Well, you know, it's all hiring, right? People say, you know, should I hire somebody? I said, I like to hire people for the role they're good at.
Okay.
You know, I'm more interested in hire the person than I am the role. Now, we do a gap analysis when we do team coaching. And in the team coaching, you analyze what's missing from your team. You got everybody but a planner. So we should hire a planner, obviously. But when you've got every role fixed, and you've got people that are doing everything well, where are you getting stuck?
Right.
Where does it bog down? Do you need, you know, everybody wants to hire somebody to cold call, but all the business is being brought in by one person. Well, wouldn't it make more sense to have that one person free up more of their time to go and bring in more business and have other people do what they do well?
Right.
And it's so logical, but sometimes the person bringing in the business wants everybody else to be them. Well, everybody can't be you. So you have to go and do what you do well. I had one guy literally tell me this. He said, Rob, I love Supernova. I said, why? He said, well, because I started doing 12-4-2 and I realized I hated it. So I turned over all my calls to my other associates, and all I do is go out and hunt for business, and it's working great. I said, congratulations. He doesn't like being an FA. He likes being a hunter. Well, good. Go hunt. The other teammates love it because he's killing it, bringing in business, and they take care of everything else. So whatever it is that you're good at, do more of.
Yep.
And the things you're not good at, try and find somebody else to do them for you.
So we've had such a good experience with Phil when we partnered and we were able to work together on his book, you know, finding ancillary business and just doing more business. in there
yep.
that we'd like to duplicate that, replicate that with the few FAs that are in the office that are sole practitioners. But that's
sure.
a challenge. They're sole practitioners for a reason because they've, you know, hunkered down and dug their heels in. So it's a challenge to try to
they're used
do
to
that.
The
yeah.
old-fashioned well, model of eat what you kill.
Yeah, or just, you know, they're just, I don't know, maybe they're too busy trying to just stay alive to bother with this kind of stuff. But just wondering if you have any insights to that kind of thing.
Well, that's a personality situation. If they, you know, you've got to decide whether if as a teammate they would be manageable and additive,
mm-hmm.
accretive to your firm, or they'd be a detriment to your firm.
True.
There are some people that have tried to team two or three times and they're just not good teammates. And there's and because they won't give you the access that Phil gave you.
Well, that's the thing.
So,
that's the key right there. Yeah.
That's right. You've got to have it's got to be a complete merger. And you've
right.
got to have 100% access to their practice. If they won't give you that, no go. But if they
right.
will, then you've got a huge opportunity and can leverage your skills in developing the business through financial planning and client development, things that they just don't. It isn't that they don't want to do it. They don't know how in many cases. They're uncomfortable with planning. They're afraid of it, so they pretend they don't want to do it, you know.
Okay.
So many times it's a skill issue.
Yeah.
And you're right. Sometimes it's an attitude issue. But if
right.
it's a skill issue and the attitude, you need to spend some time with them, you know. So
right.
don't make that part of your marketing is internal marketing.
Right.
And people will be fascinated by what you're doing, especially as your efficiencies grow.
Mm-hmm.
You become more and more efficient and effective.
Right.
You know, fewer clients, more effective, bigger clients, more revenues. And then people will be, and if they're going to retire, where do they want their book to go? You guys, because they know they're going to get, their clients are going to get 12-4-2. They're going to get a financial plan. They're going to get 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. Where would you want your book to go? Somebody,
right.
old Joe in the corner that's never going to call him? Or with you guys?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Particularly since when somebody retires here, they have to count on their partners.
Right.
First off, they have to be partnered for 2 to 3 years. And second off, they have to count on those people to continue to service their side of the book for another 5 where they go broke.
Right.
Yep.
You know, this is, frankly, from my standpoint, you know, very selfish. I need to, let's say I retire in 2 years. I need to know that not only am I getting paid for the next 2 years, which is easy, but what do I do in the next 5 after that if these guys drop the ball and all my clients dissipate?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, Bill, I'm with you. So my suggestion is, you know, you've done it. What more credibility could Pat and Dwayne have than you?
Well, there is one thing that could have been a solution, but never was, and that's my 3 kids. None
mm-hmm.
of them wanted to work here.
Mm-hmm.
Pat and Dwayne at least have the possibility of 1 or 2 of their children 5 or 6 or 10 years down the road.
Well,
okay.
But my
right.
my point is that no one would have more credibility in telling the story that, you know, you did this, you basically bought into this team thing. It's working, and
yeah.
you like it. You're having fun. They're treating you great, and your revenues are up. I mean,
right.
come on, that's a great story.
Well, and that's the thing. So Phil and anyone in retirement is, in a team is going to be like a center of influence even in retirement because you end up being friends with a lot of your clients. So you do see them outside
sure.
and neighbors and all those people. So
yeah, we just can't talk to them about their investment.
No, exactly. Right. Exactly. So you're
we're basically told, forget everything you ever learned about.
Yeah. You don't know anything, but you know you love the team at Morgan Stanley.
That's about it.
That's about
and
it.
You can't even get confident
that you're
bringing new clients in.
Right. Huh.
All right.
Good.
All right.
Thank you.
Next week, same time?
Yeah,
oh, wait,
same time.
A holiday? No, the one after. We're not meeting on the 20th, correct? Because that's a holiday. We're closed.
It's Martin Luther King, I think. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
So we'll... Okay.
Right.
So
we'll catch up at 2 o'clock next Monday.
Some more clients in the system.
Good deal.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.